pleased to be joined right out of the gate by Alan Doyle, author, actor, musician, raconteur. This song is off his...
You gotta whisper it also.
Abs fan.
This year you gotta whisper it, my
God. This is off his latest album, A Week at the Warehouse. And we're very pleased to be joined.
Thank you so much for having me.
By Alan Doyle. Thanks for joining us. I'll ask you right away the same question I ask Brent whenever he talks about it. Newfoundland, Newfoundland. How am I supposed to say it? Because I'm going to get in trouble.
The locals back home, we always the emphasis on land. So it, I always say the easiest way to remember it is understand Newfoundland.
Understand Newfoundland.
It rhymes with understand. Exact same emphasis, same everything.
There you go.
Newfoundlander.
So don't say Newfoundland anymore.
Well, no, because
I'm happy the way anybody says it. Say it whatever way you want, Lungsy says.
Well,
I think you'll figure it out.
I mean, it's such a horrible cliche, but it's true. So now I get that. I was just telling you before you came in here. I read this book over the weekend, my sister's cottage, and it is a great read. I'm going to show it up. It's called A Newfoundlander in Canada, and. You know, it's. I mentioned a little bit. It's a nice trip across. It's almost like you take us on a tour with Great Big Sea. And there's so many great stories, but I bookmarked the one, Omer's Vacuums and Guitars in North Bay. This will give you a sense of what the book is about. So before we get to the other stuff, tell me about Omer's Vacuums and Guitars.
The theater in North Bay, which escapes me the name of the theater right now, but it's the theater in the main part of downtown, has a parking lot on the back of it. And when you open up the door, there's a strip of buildings that backs onto close to where the lake is and stuff. On the first time I ever went to North Bay, the only sign I could read in the snow blindness of it all or whatever was this sign that said Omer's. And below it, it said Guitars. And I was like, awesome. I go over there, and then I blinked my eyes again. Right below it, it said, "and vacuums." And at a different iteration, I didn't mention in the book, but there was another iteration of where it also said, "pet grooming."
Pet grooming.
Omer's Guitars, Vacuums, and Pet Grooming. So I went over and I walked into the door, and sure, I was like, "I gotta go check that out." And it's really effectively like a specific. At the time, it was like a specific kind of pawn shop, really, that had a lot of used vacuums. And the odd power tool here and there, but mostly vacuums and guitars. The odd mandolin, the odd bouzouki or something, but mostly guitars and vacuums. And there enough behind the counter was this gent who introduced himself as the owner of the place.
Was he Omer?
He was Omer, yeah. Mm. And he was a fixture. He passed away, sadly, a number of years ago now, but he was a fixture in North Bay. And, of course, all the bands, you'd walk out the back of the theater and you'd see this guitar shop. Well, I might as well go to the vacuum shop. It was so bizarre, but... I told the story about how I went in there and
were they good guitars?
Yeah, no. Some of them were older, and some of them were. They had all kinds of variety. It wasn't nothing there that was super special that I could see until I asked him. I said, "I've been kind of looking for a guitar, you know, like all I was wanted either a Gibson or a Martin guitar, because it was when I was a kid growing up in Newfoundland. It was only two. We only had CBC, right? And the only thing I can really remember watching religiously as a kid." Was Hockey Night in Canada. Mm. And before the thing leading into Hockey Night in Canada was Tommy Hunter.
Tommy Hunter.
And Tommy Hunter always had a Martin guitar. And I always wanted a Martin guitar. And sometimes he played a Gibson guitar. And I always wanted that. But we couldn't afford it. But my dad had a guitar, this cheap guitar called a Marlin. It was a Marlin knockoff. And just for kicks one night, we reached in with a pencil in between the strings of the guitar and made a T out of the L. So it kind of, we figured we had a fake Martin. Anyway, I told Omer this story when I was in North Bay, and he said, "So I don't have a Martin," but I said, "So you know, I was looking for a Martin or a Gibson J200 like Tommy Hunter had," and he said, "Well, I got something out back. I'll show you." And he went out back, and he brought out this Gibson J200 cowboy guitar, and he wanted like $800 for it, but he said, "I'll tell you what," and that would have been a good deal at that. And he said, "I'll tell you what now." This is about $800. It needs a bit of work, but I'll give it to you for $400 if you share it with your dad. And I took it, and I told him it lives in my studio to this day.
He
was a real gent. But it was one of the things going across the country, you know, coming from Newfoundland. I think that you just often, because there's lots of stories in Newfoundland of like hospitality and kind people, and As a kid, I suppose I wondered if it would be the same everywhere. And Omer was one of the guys that made me realize that there's goodness and good people and great nights to have just about everywhere if you're lucky enough to find it. And on that day in North Bay, I was certainly lucky enough to find it.
Well, I don't know. I can't top that story. I haven't got a guitar story like that. So you're always touring, and you're a hockey fan, obviously.
Yeah.
Hockey seems to come and go at a professional level from Newfoundland.
You know why? Yeah. It's an interesting thing you brought up, because just last week, wasn't it, Teddy and Colin both got cut, didn't they, respectively, from Boston and Leafs. That's Colin Greening and Teddy Purcell, who had a tryout with the Bruins, but
the team also in St. John's.
Yeah, the team is gone.
There.
Correct, and then the Habs, and then Winnipeg.
Right,
and then the last 3 years, it's been the Habs, which is glory days for me. The Habs AHL team, of course, which is just relocated to Laval.
To Laval,
and so that is gone. And for the first year in about a decade or more, we don't have a Newfoundlander skating on an NHL team. So it's a bit of a double sting in the hockey world in Newfoundland.
That's right.
These
well,
days.
For a long time there was
we had Michael. We had a heyday like about three,
we had,
4 years ago.
Dan
well, Danny won the cup first.
Yeah, he had a long run.
Yeah, well, God, yeah, with Detroit for a while. We had five or six at the same time. Cleary with Detroit at different times. Ryder with Montreal,
right,
or Jersey or Dallas, yep, or Boston or whatever, and then Ryan Clough, Darren Langdon with Jersey in and out, or New York Rangers. And Teddy Purcell with the Kings and or Tampa Bay Lightning. Mm-hmm.
So the guys who make it,
yeah,
are they held in particularly high esteem?
That's like
even more than rock and roll superstars.
Well, I'm not sure that anything trumps a songwriter in Newfoundland,
right?
You
or
know,
storyteller.
Yeah, like yeah, that's yeah. I think, but I mean. You know, I think we're always really delighted when one of our own makes it onto the national stage at anything. You know, whether it's you know Caitlin Osmond doing figure skating, or whether it's whomever. You know, and like that's, it's always thrilling because most of the, even including St. John's is a small city, but most of the small places like where I'm from, you know, it's that age old story where you're from the small town, and it's always great to see a small town kid do well on the big stage, and it makes it feel like everyone can make it. And one of the things I talk about in this book is when I started traveling across Canada, there's a second thing about that that's true as well. We're far away from everything, physically far away from it. Like it's harder, you know what I mean? It's harder to get there, right? And it's like, and that really means a lot after you travel across Canada one time going like, you know, you hear, you know, true and legit stories of people from different parts of Ontario saying, yeah, my parents, you know, made the slog from, you know, we'll just say North Bay for a laugh, you know, into Toronto. And go like, you could get in your car in North Bay and in a day be in Toronto.
Yeah.
If I got in my car for a day, I'm not even at the ferry to get off the island of Newfoundland. Yeah, like not even at the ferry. Like, you know, like, so like the geography is challenging. And the small, you know, getting coaching for sports and hockey included, you know, is challenging. So when the boys do make it, or when the gals do make it,
they have to go a long way to make it in a lot of ways.
And it's harder.
Yeah.
And so I guess we're also more proud than most would be. You know what I mean? And there's not many of us.
Well, and as you point out in the book, though, and further to that point, you literally do have to go farther. Because, as you said, that there's only a certain number of places you guys could play in Newfoundland. You get the point where
you're
fairly big and you got to go someplace else.
Look, since I read Ken Dryden's book, The Game, about 20 years ago now, I guess, I've been constantly drawing the parallels of the professional sporting life and the professional touring life as a musician or a theater person or whatever. And the parallels are so similar every now and again. It's just incredible to me. And one of them is like, you know, you take a hockey player or a singer from St. John's, Newfoundland, like you say, you're in a band, and like you really need to go to the next big town, right, to play against someone else, to get in a band, to play for another big audience, whatever. You need to get to the next town, say, of, you know what, I just picked a random number in the book of 30,000, right? Okay, so pick, say, anywhere in Southern Ontario and draw a 12-hour circle, a 12-hour driving circle around, pick a city like London, Ontario, for example. How many other cities of 30,000 to 40,000 do you pass?
Millions of people.
In that 12-hour circle. Draw that circle around St. John's, Newfoundland. I'll tell you, right, I'll save you the math if you want. I'll tell you how many towns of 30,000 you pass. Zero.
Zero.
Right? Add another 6 hours. It's still zero. Of course, and the other thing that you don't think about, I never thought about until I started doing the books, in St. John's, not only is it far away and less, but we only got one way to go.
That's right.
You can't go that way. You can drive. You can go 12. You can go 12 hours that way if you want, but you're going to get wet for a long time. So yeah. So that's why we're always proud of it, and that's why we're kind of missing the hockey a bit this year at home. But there is big joy. Not having a team. Yeah. Because
do people take that as an insult or just the way the economics of it.
The AHL has been in and out of St. John's for the better part of. That must be 20 years.
25 right? years. Yeah. When the Leafs were the first to go there,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. And I think, yeah, would be. And so I think people are kind of aware of the economics and the challenges of it because, that league is, and I love the AHL. I love it so much because I started watching the Leafs right around in the early 90s, right around when Great Big Sea was starting. And like when very shortly after we got to, we're touring in upstate New York. And I've gone to dozens of hockey games in Rochester and Syracuse to watch the Crunch and to go to Portland Pirates and the and I just love that level of hockey, I think primarily because unlike the NHL, really anything could happen on a Tuesday night in Syracuse, right? Four guys might have got called up from one team and four guys might have got sent back on the other team. Well, those two teams are not even at all anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
At all. It could be anything can happen in this hockey game in the AHL. And I love that part about it.
How did the love for the Montreal Canadiens come about? And for those who do purchase the book, there is a map, which I believe is a map you drew as a child. And, it's Montreal, Quebec. Yeah. And you've got a Canadiens logo there. It's part of the thing to represent that part of the country. How did that come about?
My sort of love for the Habs started as a time and a geography thing. I was born in 1969, so I was just coming of age enough to know what hockey was and watch it in the late 70s, right? And so that was, of course, the time when the Habs were winning many, many, many years in a row. And not only did they have like superheroes like Ken Dryden and Guy Lafleur and Bob Gainey and the list goes on and on. But it was also of all the other places that Hockey Night in Canada would take pictures of and shoot hockey games in, that was like whether it was Chicago or Boston or Toronto or whatever, Montreal was the one that looked different as well.
Mm-hmm.
People talked different and they dressed different. And
the suits for hockey games.
It just looked like the Narnia, coolest.
And Danny Gallivan sounded different.
Oh, it was fantastic. Yeah. And then, the thing about very not long after that, the voice that lives in my mind. If in the studio there was a hockey game playing on that screen right there and I can't hear any of the commentary, the voice that I hear in my head, mm-hmm. right? It's always Bob Cole.
Mm-hmm.
One of our own guys
mm-hmm.
is calling the game on the national television and it has been for, I think as long as I've been alive, So, yeah, it's a real... Montreal in particular, like you say, always seemed like a bit of a Narnia to me, like a place that just seemed cooler than everywhere else.
What do you attribute the success of Newfoundland music, Newfoundland literature across the country, beyond the fact that there are a lot of people from Newfoundland who moved across the country? But we talked a little bit about how you talked about playing in Winnipeg, where I'm from, and there's a tradition there. Beer and music goes hand in hand there as well. But what do you think it is about the music and the storytelling that resonates in different parts of the country?
Newfoundland is a place that had to record its history itself, right? We didn't have, libraries coming through. We didn't have, people. And so people recorded their own history in song, right? And a lot of the traditional music in Newfoundland were, for example, songs in Newfoundland were written long before there was ever a music business or an industry or a radio station or whatever. They're songs for a function or to record a piece of history. So they're very honest, right? And they're very legit, in a way that, there's a reason why Loki's boat's 500 something years old because it's awesome,
mm-hmm.
There's less and less of that in the music biz. And I think with regards to the literature and theater and all the arts is that we had to do it ourselves, And again, about the geography of it, if you lived in small town Midwest USA, you know, in the 1950s, right? You might be in a small town in Wichita or wherever, you know. There's a, probably a decent chance once or twice a summer in the 1950s, a bus would go through with Dean Martin or somebody on it, and they would be playing a gig that night. And it'd be cool. You'd get to see what... That never happened in Betty Harbor in the history of the place. Nobody's coming to entertain us, ever. You know, like, so we had to do it ourselves. Like, and that's even true in my childhood. You know, much less what it was like for my parents or grandparents. I mean, so I suppose if you're doing it for that long, you get good at it.
It seems like the music business these days, I mean, you guys have always been a great performing band.
Yeah, live band, yeah.
You got to do it more and more these days, as opposed to, you used to be able to record and make a living that way.
Right.
But now you got to play, don't you?
Yeah, which, you know what, it's a twist of fate. I'd like to be making more selling records and all that stuff. But I kind of got into it to play concerts. And so I don't mind. That's not a twist of fate that hurts me so much.
It's hard work.
It's hard work, but if it all got took away except that, I'd probably still be fine. You know, the concerts are still by far the most fun thing to do, right? And
you guys always have fun.
Yeah, it's great. You know, and I feel so lucky about it to still get to be in the game.
It's funny because the way music has gone now, it almost seems as if, you know, you write an album or you record an album, and it's almost like that's the soundtrack for the upcoming tour.
Yeah.
Right? As opposed to, we've recorded this album, now we got to go tour to support it. It's almost as if you're laying the soundtrack down.
Yeah.
For the 2018 tour, which it suits, hard work.
It is. That kind of suits me fine as well, though, because my songwriter buddies, when I write songs for other bands or whatever,
right,
and I always go like, they always say, Alan, you got to stop. You're not writing songs for the album. You're writing songs for the concert. And I go like, yeah, I know. I can't help it.
We know that you've got a busy schedule. We're going to let you run again, Alan. Congratulations on the book. Congratulations on the album. The tour starts in February, I believe, in Peterborough.
In Canada, yeah.
In Peterborough. And all the best.
Thanks so much for joining us. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate
it. Thanks for coming in.
Alan Doyle, the title of the book is A Newfoundlander in Canada. The CD is A Week at the Warehouse. And as I mentioned, the tour starts in February.